Is that smartphone you have polluting the air? From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. Apple today pledged to power the factories it works with in China with clean energy. The idea is to either promote solar or offset its carbon footprint so its operations are carbon neutral within 5 years. Marketplace's Shanghai Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz.
Apple plans to build 200 megawatts of solar panels in China that would produce enough energy to power 265,000 Chinese homes. And Apple wants to do this in order to offset its carbon footprint. China is, as we know, Apple's manufacturing base. The company has created 4.4 million jobs here, most of them in the manufacturing sector. And when you consider that much of the power these factories use comes from burning coal, the carbon footprint is a huge one.
Now, Rob told me the expectation is that factories supplying Apple's competition, including Samsung, might follow along.
I have to wonder how all this new solar will be integrated into China's rather shaky national grid. There have been many stories in China of solar installations built and never used because China's electrical grid couldn't handle it. So moving forward, it'll be interesting to see if these promises actually reach their targets.
Marketplace's Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. Apollo Education Group, the parent company of the University of Phoenix, today tells the world how much money it made last quarter. The for-profit higher ed industry has been riddled with challenges in recent years. The other day, the Department of Defense banned the University of Phoenix from recruiting on military bases. Gigi Duban has more.
The University of Phoenix hasn't hit rock bottom, but it's well on its way. That's according to Paul Fain, the news editor at Inside Higher Ed. Couple of reasons for that. One, new players in the market.
There's lower cost providers. There's nonprofit colleges like Southern New Hampshire and Liberty, all of which are kind of nipping at Phoenix's market share.
Second, Fain says, Phoenix got way too big.
They were huge. 475,000 students is absolutely gigantic.
Last year, enrollment dropped to less than half that. And that may be more manageable. But that's also a big problem. James Hyatt is with the Center for the Study of Higher Education at UC Berkeley.
If the enrollment's down, the revenues will be down.
If that weren't enough, the University of Phoenix is under investigation by federal and state governments. They're looking into the school's recruiting and business practices. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
We're watching over the next hour to see if the European Central Bank pushes on any of its levers. The committee's been meeting, and some analysts expect more bond-buying stimulus for Europe to be announced, if not this morning, then sometime this fall. Dentistry is either confronting or embracing a shakeup. More than 10 states are looking at licensing a new type of oral health provider. It's called the dental therapist, someone between hygienist and dentist. The idea is to bolster the ranks of people who can drill, fill, and pull, making it easier for people to get care for their teeth. According to the American Dental Association, more than half of all Americans didn't see a dentist at all last year. Yesterday, we heard from a hygienist who hopes to get the chance to become a therapist if Vermont approves. That's at marketplace.org if you want to hear the intense whine of a dental drill again. Today, from the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY, Dan Gorenstein speaks with some dentists who have a problem with adding these therapists to their ranks.
When you live in a state like Vermont, population 625,000, you tend to know lots of people, and lots of people know you.
It is your name on the sign. You are the one that's held liable for all that occurs in the office.
That's Dr. Judy Fish, who now co-runs the family practice her father-in-law started back in 1962. For 6 years, Fish and most of the nearly 400 dentists here have fended off efforts to license dental therapists. Critics drill the providers for protecting their turf. Fish says she's not concerned about competition. She's focused on the 3,500 people who come to her office every year.
I care about my patients. I care very much about my patients, and I would not be comfortable with my patients receiving their care from someone with an inadequate level of training.
Under the bill, a student must train for 4 years and receive 1,000 hours of direct supervision from a dentist. Despite her opposition, Fish and her colleagues may be losing ground. This summer, the agency that accredits dental schools is creating guidelines to train therapists, taking the bite out of patient safety arguments. And advocates convinced the Vermont Senate for too many people, it's too hard to get a dental appointment. But as the bill moves to the House, Dr. Steve Pittman says lawmakers will understand this whole idea is simply impractical.
If I have a dental therapist who can only remove a very loose, wiggly tooth that's blowing in the wind, but that patient needs two or three other teeth extracted, how is it efficient for the dental therapist to go in and take out the one tooth, and then I need to come in and take out the next two teeth?
Pittman says if the goal is to make it easier for people to get dental care, then the state should pay dentists more to care for the poor. In Minnesota, the only state that's a licensed therapist, waiting times for dental care went down, and more people on Medicaid got appointments. But when dentists believe something's bad for their patients or themselves, they remember it's their name on that shingle. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And there's a junior Google employee living in his truck in the Google parking lot. Business Insider reports that way the guy's able to save 90% of his income at a time that San Francisco Bay Area rents are getting ridiculous. He showers at the corporate gym. If this is giving ideas to hard-pressed Walmart employees, I just checked, and while many but not all Walmarts allow overnight RV camping, extended stays are not allowed. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.